You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. This evening I'm speaking to David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. David, do you ever find that markets have a sort of a personality? You know, the mood of a market has a personality. And at the moment, the personality is, okay, we'll take any good news that we get and rally when we can. But on the other hand, if there's no good news, we're coming down again. Do you ever get that feeling? Because that's the feeling I've got.
The news that we're getting, although it's good, is not good. Because the markets fear that any good news is just going to push the Fed to go that one step further and reinforce what the chorus of Fed governors have been saying. So today we had and this is odd.
Yeah.
This is what I can't understand, because the news sometimes is so conflicting. And, you know, today there was an ISM report that came out that was higher than expected, and the market goes into the fear factor because the futures were pointing up. We had a massive reversal of the S&P and the NASDAQ,
yeah. But
it seems to be recovering now. So I think the markets are a bit schizophrenic at the moment. They don't know, you know, they have no idea how to build this in. And Lindsay, the danger is don't try and play it. You know, just take a step back until things settle and you've got a clearer view of where it is, because you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt because, as you say, I think you've got a market that's you know, the personality is that I don't think it wants to go better.
No, I don't think it wants to either. I put it in a fancy way, but it's sell the rallies rather than buy the dips at the moment, whereas 2 months ago it was the other way around. And just to clarify, we mustn't use too many acronyms. ISM means Institute of Supply Management. It's not your fault at all. It's my job to do that. And what was the number? Was it the services number or the manufacturing number?
It was a services number. No, the manufacturing number was a little softer. But it's a services number that was better than the market expected.
Okay.
And a lot of the U.S. economy is services. So, but you need to break it down to understand why it is where it is and what the components are. But the knee-jerk reaction was to panic, and it seems to be gathering its calming its nerves at the moment, just seems to be okay. But it's very disconcerting if you're watching a market and you suddenly see these kind of movements. And to translate that, Lindsay, just to give you an idea of the volatility, I wish I could show this chart.
Try and describe it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Throughout the day, the JSC was quite steady. And we were at 6794 at 3 o'clock, and more or less, I would even say at 3:30 in that region, call it 67900. We fell 200 points within a few minutes as that came out. So, not 200 points, 2000 points, yeah. I'm getting it wrong.
We went from nearly 68,000 down
to 6,7200. Sorry, that's 700 points we lost. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I got those wrong. No apologies for confusing everybody here. It's just,
we're used to your.
That off the screen wrong.
We're used to your dementia. We understand.
So. I'm trying to read the numbers off the chart and I can't see them properly. But that's a kind of movement.
So you're talking about the sensitivity. Yeah. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's sensitive to the downside.
Recovered. Yeah. Now we recovered and we're back to 6,7500. We're in the middle as well, but way off that level that we were.
Yeah.
I'm merely trying to say the speed at which this market moved. We thought, you know, we were in for a nice day, steady, picking up from Friday, picking up from yesterday, and boom, this happens. So I'm just hoping that it does recover. Of course, the market's closed now. But I mean, I am seeing U.S. markets also steady a little bit. But it's very, very hard to put yourself in the middle, you know, to try and make decisions against this. And that's why I always argue that I think traders, you've got to trade a position. You've got to take a position. and go with it, you know, and say, listen, I think this is where it's going to be in 3 months' time. But to try trade on minute-to-minute basis now is so difficult. It is almost impossible to second-guess this kind of information that we're getting out.
Yeah, it certainly is. But you're not one of those sort of traders. You trade for the long term. I mean, I don't even know if when you took a short position or a long position and said, you know what, I think for the next couple of days, this is going to do this and that's going to do that. So let me put a couple of grand in there. You probably never, ever do that, do you? You're not a short-term trader? No.
No, we never do that. I couldn't. I couldn't, you know, live with it. I haven't got a feel. I haven't got a feel, you know, good enough feel for actually doing that. It's just too volatile, too difficult to read. And you need some very sophisticated programs or charting programs that you're looking at that can give you the guidance and the signals. Don't become a hedge fund manager.
Or a lot of luck as well, which is what most of it is.
I suppose so, yeah.
David, the first thing that came out this morning was ShopRite. And I looked at my screen and I thought, how can ShopRite be down 7.3%, which is where it was after 10 minutes of trading? Tell me about those numbers.
They might have disappointed. The market might have been expecting more. I don't know what more they could have expected. You know, we're probably talking a few decimal points. It's always difficult to read because the retailers always give you 52 weeks versus 53 weeks versus 52, and you've got to make all those adjustments. But I think there might have been a feeling that the dividend could have been better.
Right.
Maybe that disappointed. But, I mean, overall, it's a very steady performance. The other thing, Lindsay, is that, you know, if you look at it, and I'm not one for multiples and PEs and things like that, but it is in the – you're talking about a 22 PE, which is at the high side. And I think that if you want to maintain that, you've got to keep producing plus 20% results. And this wasn't a plus 20% result. And that's a bit of a fear factor that if they can't keep it up, and if they can't keep up 20%, which they will say they did if you did the right comparisons, then I think it can start to lose a bit of momentum. It's an excellent operation. I'm not going to challenge them. And there are a lot of good things that come through. What intrigued me was they're going to open up something like another 270-odd stores going into next year. I mean, that's a lot of stores. And all of this is at the lower end of the market. You know, and that's where –
But which sort of stores are they? I mean, they've got different brands, haven't they? Which ones are they focusing on? Because that would be very interesting.
They're mainly the low end. Yeah.
Which one have they got?
The low end.
There's one called Ucash or something. What is it?
Yeah, I'll get them for you. I'm not I mess it all up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Because it's not just ShopRite.
The liquor business is doing well.
Yeah.
No. It's a whole lot of brands. You know, they've got USave, that's the one.
USave, yeah, that was it.
And they've got Cambridge. They've got a few others like that. And Cambridge, Mash Fresh, Mass Cash and Carry, and so on. So,
but across the board, they're expanding in anticipation, presumably. Yeah. Of but the other thing is, David, when you have a look at somebody that says, "I'm going to, you know, open 250 shops in the next year." That doesn't happen overnight. They don't just say, okay, Jan, we're going to open 250 shops. It's been planned. And I think, given what you've just said, it was planned during COVID. So they probably said, we're going to get out of COVID. Lockdowns will be a distant memory. So let's take advantage of the boost to the economy. Would you say that that's
a
theory?
Yeah. They did very well in lockdown, not the liquor side. You know, the liquor side came under pressure, and it's a big part of it. They're recovering there, but I think they did very well. You know what? You know what's also interesting? I mean, their furniture side is very small. It's the OK Bazaars, but that side came under pressure because during lockdown they had exceptional numbers. So on comparative, you know, the comparatives just took it down. But but I think it's a very solid, good operation. Still very, you know, most of the money's here, in South Africa, supermarket South Africa, out of Africa. It's a good operations, but certainly doesn't match the size here. It's not a big contributor, but still did well. But it's a good operation. I just, there are warnings out there, although they say that they been trading very well. And that's always the concern, because if you looked at the GDP numbers that came out today as well, it does show strain on the economy. And you know, that's the equation, the conundrum. And Lindsay, it's worth discussing.
Just before you go on, let's tell people what the GDP number was. It was minus 0.7% quarter on quarter.
Seven, right.
Yeah. Which is not huge, but and there were KwaZulu-Natal floods and that sort of thing. Yeah. But it is a stagnant economy, isn't it, essentially?
Yeah. It's a negative. Remember, we're coming out of, we're coming out of lockdown. We're coming out of the pandemic. And one would have expected it to grow, but I think that did knock us back quite a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's an issue. But the point is that we're going into an economy where things are going to be a lot tighter, higher oil prices, higher food prices, stretching higher interest rates. All of these things, together with structural issues such as no power. You know, this morning I woke up, they were repairing the water. Now we're back into load shedding for stage two. You know, I know we're not getting it today. We're getting it Thursday. But those are ongoing issues. But the question that I ask, and with 275 new stores, they must be taking business away from either the spouses or someone else.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And maybe this is where how they are growing and growing their numbers. Because I don't know whether the economy is doing all that well, but it must be some of the smaller corner shops that are taking the strain and feeling the brunt of a check. Because, you know, if you're in a nice little center and you're doing pretty well, then you're the local store, and suddenly a Checkers opens up across the road, well, you know where the business is going. You can't compete with that. So I wonder if I need an analyst or somebody who knows the background to say, is this where they're going to grow at other people's expense? You know, without being capitalistic or whatever. That's just how things work. But, I struggle to sometimes reconcile, you know what I mean? I reconcile some of the results with what the underlying economy is doing. And it just might be that they're eating other people's breakfast, lunch, and suppers.
Well, it's also to do with trends. Whenever I speak to a retail executive, I'll say, just before we talk about your results, what are the trends? What are people doing? What are they doing today on the announcement of your 52-week results versus what they were doing 52 weeks ago? Is there a discernible trend? And that is what, you know, it's like you saying, if I haven't got time, Lindsay, what I do is go to the prospect statement of a set of results, because you can't be bothered to read through all these reams of things during the day. You said that to me, but that's what I always ask a CEO. What are people buying and what does that mean to you? And it's fascinating what they say, I have to say. I love retail.
Mm. Yes. But it's one's got to get to know it. I for example, what I'm fine. I had to go for biometrics this morning. I'm going to Australia in December. And I have to say that they've jacked, you know, they're really getting jacked up.
What does biometrics mean? What do you mean?
Yeah, they take your fingerprint, you know, and they take a photograph of you. And, you know, your visas today are online. You don't have it stamped in your passport. And but everything was very high tech.
Mm.
And for the first time in my life, we went there. Our appointment was 10:30. I was out in 15 minutes.
Very good.
So they're doing it in a much more organized way. You 10:30, you'll be there, you know, and you're out 11:15.
But wait a second, was this the Australian embassy, or was this outsourced to a South African company?
No, it's outsourced to a company.
Okay.
It's outsourced. But the point, what I'm getting at is that I was in Rivonia, and there was Pick and Pay clothing. All of a sudden, these clothing stores are emerging, you know, and it's becoming quite a big brand.
What do you mean, standalone clothing, not just part of a bigger Pick
and Pay? Standalone Pick and Pay. They're not big shops.
Mm.
You know, the size of what you would expect an outfitter to be or a clothing shop to be. So there it was. And then I went to Bluebird as well. I had to go and buy some just you know, for old men when you've got to go to Dis-Chem. So I had to go to Dis-Chem to get my Barocca so I can get energy in the morning. So, and things like that. And there was another Pick and Pay clothing store there, you know, that is filling space. So you can see all I'm getting at is these shops are starting to fill gaps that perhaps other smaller retailers can't afford. And people like it, you know, people are speaking very well of the Pick and Pay clothing.
Do you know what?
Mr. Price.
I have to tell you something because, I mean, he'll never listen to this podcast because he's too busy fiddling with his cars. But you know where Wayne McCurry, your friend and my friend, buys his clothes? Do you know where he buys his clothes? Yeah. Macro and Pick and Pay. I mean, it's not as if he couldn't afford. I mean, he's not a man of straw.
It doesn't mean anything in his life.
Of course,
he's quite happy. You know, he's happy to put hush puppies on or whatever he does.
Ah, hush puppies are a trendy brand these days. But but anyway, Wayne messes around in Macro and Pick and Pay clobber that he's paid 35. I don't know what you pay for clothes anymore. But anyway, the point is you're quite right, and that tells me again that people analyze the trends and say, okay, we're going to put this here. Mm. Normally, it would be attached to a bigger Pick and Pay and would be just a sideline. Now it's a separate profit center.
Yeah. And obviously doing well that they're able to open it up. What the contribution is to the bottom line, I'm not sure. Mm. But I don't think this is going to challenge Woolworths clothing, but it's certainly going to fill a gap in the market or fill that lower gap. Because I could see, you know. In fact, my wife said, I want to try to see if they got a denim skirt. I said, okay, I'm not going to. You know, my wife comes from Yeovil. So she was brought up as a communist daughter. So I'm very blessed in that way.
I'm glad that she's keeping up with the trends. I mean, I'm not going to reveal her age or anything because when last time I saw her, she looked 20 years younger than you revealed to me. But a denim skirt, I'm not so sure. But again, David, there's an interesting thing you say because you talk about Woolworths, and I've talked to you on a number of occasions and said I don't understand Woolworths anymore. They've got five different clothing brands. Maybe Pick and Pay's people sat down and said, okay. As you put it, let's eat their breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Let's eat their clothing department because we can do it better because people are confused about Woolies offering. Mm. Maybe.
Yep. So if you go to Bluebird, you won't know Bluebird.
What's Bluebird?
It's just down by Melrose Arch. You know, it's just adjacent to Melrose Arch.
What do you mean, a shopping
centre? It's got a Dis-Chem. It's a shopping centre, little shop. It's got a medical. You know, there are a few restaurants there. It's got a Dis-Chem, and which is the big attraction. It's got a Checkers in there, a very good Checkers, and it's got Woolworths, you know. Also, mainly Woolworths, and so you know all the big brands are there, and in comes Pick and Pay with this clothing offering. Now there are no clothes shops in Bluebird, so. It's quite interesting to see how they do and how they last because a lot of shops that have come into that area haven't made it. But you see, you've got a natural attraction. You've got a medical, you've got a lot of doctor's rooms there as well. So you've got this constant flow of people into Dis-Chem and Checkers and so on. Yeah. So it's natural that you'll have something like this. Yeah. Anyway, good luck to them. But I mean, what you are seeing is quite a few of these stores, standalone Pick and Pay clothing stores pick up there.
Good. Okay. Let's have a look at the spot prices now because ShopRite and retail has taken up a lot of our time. I find it fascinating. Yeah. But anyway, Dollarand was about 17.05 this morning in thin conditions, but now 17.27. So the Rand has fallen. British pound against the Rand, 19.32. The euro rand is 17.12, the euro dollar 99.14, 99.15. So the dollar, having had a look at breaking parity again, is currently 0.4% stronger once more. I've got a
Ray, just quickly on that note. Yeah. What happened is that when that ISM number came out, rates kicked up, and that kind of just drew money back into the dollar.
I'll come to that.
So that hasn't quite adjusted. Okay, you'll come.
No, I'll come to that in a second because there has been a spike in the US 10-year, which is the only one I watch. I know you watch the 2 and the 10. British pound 115.35. Liz Truss is in number 10. Good luck to her, I say.
The bookies reckon she won't last as long as Theresa May.
Oh no, she definitely won't. And it's interesting, just as you know, you're diverting me again because you always do. But it's interesting. What's his name? Boris Johnson's speech. He said in his farewell speech, he said, "I'm like one of those booster rockets on a NASA space launch. I get jettisoned and then I splash into the ocean." And then he made reference to a Roman emperor or something. And that Roman emperor was someone who was a bit of a dictator. And he got ousted, but then he came back. I think Boris Johnson is going to almost do a Trump and try to come back again. And I do think that Liz Truss isn't going to be there for very long. She just doesn't have the personality, and also she's duplicitous. She wanted to abolish the monarchy in 1994, and there she is with the Queen today. She was also with the Liberal Democrats in 1994, and now she's with the Tories. So yeah, look out, Liz. We're watching you. The gold price is $1,703, which is down $9 an ounce. The platinum price is down $3.50 to $836. Palladium is $1,993, which has turned around from this morning when it was up $45. It's now down $25 or 1.2%. Now, let's have a look at this oil price because there's been all sorts of shenanigans with OPEC. It's suddenly fallen 3.1% to $92.78 per barrel. That's for Brent crude. And West Texas is $86.47, which is down 2.6%. Natural gas has fallen nearly 4% to 8.41. These natural gas traders must be having a hell of a time, either good or bad. And other things on the commodities front, not much. But let's have a look at that very important US 10-year Treasury bond yield, which you spoke about. 3.33% at the moment, which is... 4.3% up for the yield. Now, if the Dow or the S&P was up 4.3% or down 4.3%, it would be headline news on CNN. Yeah. No, nobody says anything. 3.33%, David. I'll come to the South African 10-year, which is
we
also spiked.
Remember, we were 280 not too long ago, hey?
Yeah, exactly. 10.50 now, the South African 10-year, which is 17 basis points higher for the yield, which means the bond prices are weaker. More mundane matters, Bitcoin, 19,800 and a bit, which is down just 0.2%. And S&P 500 futures, they don't want to go up. I'm telling you this, they do not want to go up. They're only up 0.2%, whereas they were up nearly 1% at one stage. Yeah. So interesting day back for the Americans, having had Labor Day yesterday, David. What do you think? Where's your money?
Nobody wants to come into the market. No, they're still very, very nervous. So I think it's going to take a long time or a few more months and a lot more data to get people to start buying. And you know where I stand on equities and so on. But one's got to understand the mood. You know, you spoke about the personality mood of the market. It's pretty dull and pretty difficult to read at the moment.
Well, it's a bit schizophrenic, actually. I mean, the way I see the markets, if the market was a human being, he'd probably be going to see a psychologist at the moment. He or she, because it doesn't know how to behave. Before we get to what I'll do is I'll give you my top five major moves up and down on the JSE, and then you'll give me a couple of other ones. But then I want to talk to you about luxury goods just at the end, just to give us a little bit of light relief. Itel Tile up nearly 8%, Tungela up 5 2/3, PSG Consult up 5.1%. Bytes up 4 2/3 almost. HCI up 3.5%. No real big names there. On the downside, though, ShopRite actually closed down 7.5%. So it wasn't just a knee-jerk reaction. This was consistent selling. And I think your point about the dividend is well made. Harmony down 3%. CAP down 2.8%. Transaction Capital, 2.4%. Anglo Gold Ashanti down 2.3%. What I wonder, is there any outside of those that you look, because you've got a more extensive list than me?
Just looking at those, I think the one, you know, we're getting, I mentioned the other day, I think with Nick, we mentioned the looking at some of the education stocks.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem is that, Lindsay, it's so difficult. So today, Curo's up 6%. Yesterday, I was quite happy because Stadio went up 6%. Look today, Stadio's down 6%. You know, so there's massive churning and amongst some of these stocks. I think also what I've been noticed is being quite a bit of pressure down on some of the construction stocks. You know, we saw Marion Roberts come out, not with a trading update, you know, mentioning that they'd lost certain contracts, how there were some big markdowns there. The one that just defies gravity is Thungela, which is up again another 6%. They are going ex-dividend 60 Rand on the 21st, and there must be massive buying ahead of that dividend. But I would have thought that so much of that dividend is already built in. But there is a view that they can continue. You know, obviously the buying now means that besides a dividend, they expect something similar to next year. So that's just one that you know, has defied almost gravity. But shares like Grindrod up about 4% today as well. I'm trying to pick up some other gainers that you know, that you might have missed.
No,
on the downside, yeah. ENX is the same thing. I think yesterday I saw ENX up 20%. It's a small company. I think it used to came out of Barlow's, if I'm not mistaken, or somewhere. They were offload. No, I think it came out of Imperial. This was like a company that leased heavy machinery for the mining industry, if I'm not mistaken. And they go up 15% one day, down 13%. So that's the kind of movements we're looking at. But ShopRite was one of the poorer movers today. Yeah.
Very much so. David?
Yeah, Marion Roberts again. It gained another 3%. So there's been some big, big selling of Marion Roberts.
Okay.
You know, year to date, it's down almost 40%. Yeah.
I don't know about you. I don't know what your attitude is towards construction companies in South Africa with an overseas bias as well. But I certainly wouldn't. It certainly wouldn't get me excited. David, you love Ferrari, don't you? You love Ferrari.
Yes.
You and your clients. You're enthusiastic about this luxury goods company because that's what it is. It's almost recession proof. Because the people that have the money to buy a Ferrari don't really worry about the US 10-year treasury yield. They can buy cash, buy with cash.
No, right.
Okay, Porsche's listing. VW is spinning off Porsche.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like an $85 billion listing, I think it is. What do you do then? Do you say to yourself, well, okay, Ferrari is the purest entry to the luxury goods market via motor cars. And some people will say, well, I've done very well on Ferrari. I'm going to involve myself on this new IPO. How does it work? And what's your attitude?
No, I you know what? I like Porsche, and I'm going to watch it with interest.
Mm.
But in luxury, as you say, there are purists, and there are, you know, it's a kind of brand that you have to be approved to buy this car. You know, they don't sell anywhere close to the number of Porsches.
Yeah.
So it's a very exclusive. It's almost similar to Hermes. Is that right? You know, H-E-R-M-E-S.
I've got one of their tires. Yeah, and that's all.
Exactly. And the point is that only the exclusive people can afford to shop there.
Mm.
You know, no one else goes in. And that's what when you go into luxury, that's where you've got to be. To an extent, a lot of Richemont's watches are there and so on. So Aston Martin doesn't do it for me. Nice brand, but can't compete anywhere close to Ferrari. So where does Porsche come in? It's going to be very interesting to see how this operates.
You see a lot more Porsche on the road. I mean, in South Africa, I remember lots of youngsters had made a bit of money on the market, had Porsches, but not very many of them had Ferraris. So I get your point.
No. It's poor man's luxury. do you know what I mean by poor man? You're not quite there. Look, there's some people who love it. I mean, who are ultra rich and can afford it, and they enjoy the car and they prefer it to Ferraris, you know, the driving side. But I think that the chaps who go out and get their first Porsche, they can't afford a Ferrari.
I remember David driving down Oxford Road in Johannesburg with a very good Jewish friend of mine, and he just bought a Ferrari. And it had the engine in the back, and it had a Perspex sort of roof, so you could see the engine. He said, Linz, he had a bit of a cockney accent, he says, Linz, let's go for a spin. And we drove along Oxford Road at a horrible speed. I was terrified. And and we got to the traffic lights, stopped there on the right-hand side, and two women in a car drove up next to us, and they rolled down the window. It was that sort of attraction that the Ferrari has. Yeah. I mean, I know it's very shallow to say, but it does have this cachet. And Porsche does as well, but not quite what Ferrari has.
No. Not at all. So but I like Porsche. I'm going to study the numbers.
Mm.
They have to have exclusive brands. They have to have – that's where they're going to make the money. I'm also interested in what they're going to do in the electric vehicles because that could also be a very attractive area. So I look, you know, let's see when the numbers come out. We can study it.
Very good. And David, give us the closing JSE indices that you watch, please.
Well, we closed up 0.21%, which is better than I thought we would. 67539. A lot of mixed trading. The resources just managed to get into the green, up 0.3%. Financials mixed, you know, with banks down, insurers up. So the net effect was 0.11% up. And then on the consumer discretionary, which is the, you know, which are all the consumer, which my problem, I've just got to look, that could have been Richemont that lifted it up. That was over 1% up. But overall, industrials up 0.18%, which is hardly here nor there. I'm just looking on the you see, Richemont was up 1%, which I think would have given that index, consumer index, a bit of a lift. Mm. But process down, anyway, not much happening. Again, volumes very light. Lindsay, it's a worry.
How many? 16, 17?
I don't think we made 20 billion today.
Okay.
18.3, but 19.7, which is not a lot. You know, it's still way, way below the kind of numbers we need to make a living.
Especially when you convert it into dollars, which is it's getting weaker and weaker all the time. Okay, and Wall Street, I've got like the only thing I can give you is the S&P 500 futures, which is fairly up to date, but it looks as though it's just about to go negative. It's 39.28, which is only up 39.27 now, 0.07% higher. What about the Dow and the Nasdaq? You probably haven't got that either.
I haven't got the Dow, but the Nasdaq is slightly down, down a couple of points as well. But that was up at one point, you know, almost a percent, and then fell almost to 1%, and just kind of steady now. But this is going to be the pattern. I don't think anybody wants to really go in there in any aggressive way and accumulate stocks.
The S&P has just gone negative at 39.23, down 0.05%. David, thanks very much for your analysis. As always, that was a really good chat, most informative. Football tonight, I don't know. I won't sleep tonight because there are so many matches.
I love it.
It's very exciting. And I know you'll be asleep by the time the big games come on, but you can watch them.
I'm going to watch the early games.
Exactly. David Shapiro is from Sasson Securities, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. David will be back with me and hopefully with Nick Kunze as well on Thursday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.